an egg on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you're not permitted to eat that egg. So the Gemara wants to know what's wrong with the egg. It's a kosher egg. What can be the problem? So the Gemara gave four different explanations. So one explanation was that it's a problem of mukta, something to do with mukta. One explanation was that it's part of the gzeira de rabbanon, mukta zonim de rabbanon. You say it's mukta zonim de rabbanon. Another explanation was that it's zonim de rabbanon. It's part of the gzeira of having juice squeeze out by itself. If you have juice that oozed out by itself from fruit, so since you're forbidden to squeeze out juice on Shabbos Yom Tov, it's an Isser. So even if it oozed out by itself, you didn't do anything wrong, there's a gzeira de rabbanon that you're not allowed to drink that juice. Shemra yischot. Maybe you'll squeeze it out. Maybe you'll lose it out. So the one opinion among the Amoraim held that the Beitza Shinol de Shabbos of the Yom Tov is similar enough to juice that oozed out from fruits, that it should be included in the Nagzeh. And all the other Amoraim held that it's too distant, it's too far off from juice that oozed out, that it should be included in Nagzeh. Then another third opinion in Yomara was that it's also Midi Rabbanon, part of the Gzeh of Peris HaNoshim. You're not permitted to rip off fruits that are growing, fruits or vegetables. It's a Malacha both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So even if the fruits or the vegetables fell off on their own on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're forbidden to eat them. Gzeh Roshem or Yalav Yifrish. Maybe you climb up on a tree and you rip it off. So the Beitza Shinoldo looks like it's part of the gzeira of Paris on Ocean, Paris that fell down from the tree, that it's awesome the Rabbanon to eat it because of the gzeira that you may rip it off. The other Amoraim hold that it's too far distant, that has nothing to do with Paris that are growing on a tree. It's too far away from that, too removed from that, it can't be part of that. And the fourth opinion was Rabbi's opinion that it's an Issa Deraisa sometimes, not all the time. When is it an Issa Deraisa? If you have Shabbos next to Yom Tov, either Yom Tov is on Friday, Yom Tov is on Sunday, and the Beitza is nulled on the second day, and we assume that the hen lays an egg every other day. So the egg that's laid on the second day was completed, was prepared on the first day, and that's an Issa Deraisa to eat that egg on that second day. That's called Hachona de Rabba. Even though nobody violated any Aveira, the chicken is not Jewish, so the chicken can complete any egg that it was inside of its body. It's not an issue of a penalty for having violated an Aveira. It's not a Gzeira de Rabbanon that somebody may violate an Aveira. It has nothing to do with that. Rabbi derives from a pasuk b'hayah b'yom hashishi with a hayidia on base ve'echinu esu she'avil that only chol mechem l'shabbos and chol mechem l'yantiv. The man didn't fall down neither on Shabbos nor on Yantiv. So if you had Shabbos next to Yantiv, Yantiv next to Shabbos, the man would fall down on Erev of the 2 days, Erev Shabbos or Yantiv, enough man would fall down for both days. In fact, of Shlomo of Vilna, I don't remember if we discussed it. Shlomo of Vilna is Bali with Akasha. Why is it that we eat Lechem Mishneh on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Why? Because twice as much came down on Friday when you have Yom Tov next to Shabbos and Shabbos next to Yom Tov. You should have three times. What does Lechem Mishneh mean? A double portion came down. Normally every day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, an Oymer Lagol Golas came down for every person in Oymer. On Friday, a double portion came down, two Amorim, one Oymer for Friday, and one Oymer for Shabbos. And on Erev Yom Tov, also a double portion came down. So that's why the Chachamim made a Takana de Rabbanon, that in every meal you should say Hamoitzi, even though you're not really interested in eating two loaves of bread, you should have Hamoitzi on two Chalas, to remember that there was a double portion that came down. So whenever you have Yom Tov fall out on Friday or on Sunday, why didn't the Chachamim make a Takana that you should have three loaves of bread to remember the Nes HaGabi Nes? He says, a pile ploim, how come nobody has the cash? No. They weren't so bothered with the cash.
Okay. Is that only when the behemoth, you make the behemoth do some work? What if your behemoth does work on the behemoth supposed to rest on Shabbat?
You mean if you don't make your behemoth work? There's a din of
Shabbat. Maybe you say the same thing here with the chicken. When he lays an egg, it's his chicken, and he lays it on Yom Tov, so
she can... No, I'm just asking that. The Gemara in Shabbos quotes Akasha from the Mechilta. How can you allow the cows to graze in the field? It's kotzer. They're detaching the grass. So Taisis quotes the Mechilta, asks that Akasha and answers, since it says Leman Yonuach, this is the Nayach of the behemoth. That's the way the behemoth rests.
This is
a natural process of the behemoth. When you make the behemoth carry something, even if I don't make the behemoth carry, I rented the behemoth to our goy. And the goy is not obligated to observe Shabbos, so the goy is going to cause the behemoth to carry a burden. So that's my violation of Shvisa's behemoth. Even though the goy is not violating anyway anything, if it's my animal, even though I've rented it to the goy, I lent it to the goy, It's my violation that I allow my animal to do a melacha on Shabbos. But if the animal does something which is a natural process, like grazing, or like developing, laying an egg, that apparently is not a violation of anything. That's Nayach Tideh. So again, according to Rabbo, the Gemara says sometimes the Beit Yishenolda will be forbidden to eat Minat Torah, and sometimes it will be forbidden to eat Minat Rabbanon. When is that? If it's a plain Shabbos or a plain Yom Tov, you didn't have 2 days, Yomim Mikudoshim, one next to the other. It'll only be an Issa Rabbanon to eat the egg. What is the nature of Issa Rabbanon? Zera Yom Tov, the Yalma, a plain Yom Tov, Otu Yom Tov Acha Shabbos, Zera Shabbos, the Yalma, a plain Shabbos, it's Zera Otu Shabbos Acha Yom Tov. And when you have 2 days in a row, Shabbos after Yom Tov, Yom Tov after Shabbos, then it's a real Issa Deraisa to eat the Beitza that was nulled on the second day. What's the Issa Deraisa? It's not that it's an Aveira, it's not that it's an Issa. It's a bit la mitzvah. The Torah has a mitzvah. You should be making mechol the Shabbos, mechol the Yom Tov. And you should only eat on Yom Tov and on Shabbos that food that was huchan properly. And if the food was huchan improperly, so it's a bit la mitzvah to eat that food.
There's no
malchus. No, I'll be pashtus. There shouldn't be any malchus. It's not an aveir at all. It's just if you don't eat it, it'll also vanish. If you eat it, then it comes out that you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. You mevatle yaseh. The yaseh is to eat the food that was huchan properly. Food that was huchan improperly is a bit la mitzvah to eat it. He learns that v'hoyer v'mishish v'hechino chol mechon l'shabbos. That's another Gemara. That's the Gemara in Erev in Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara says there's another part to Rabbi's din that is forbidden to do a hachana on the first day for the second day. That's an Issa Deraisa. Usually it's only an Issa Derabbanan. Let's say to set the table on Shabbos afternoon for the Malav Malkam, and so Shabbos is forbidden to make the beds or to whatever, to prepare anything to study for an exam that's going to be on weekdays. You see, do some kind of a hachana. So usually we assume that that's only Nisa de Rabbanon. You do hachana on Shabbos for Mitzvah Shabbos, that's Nisa de Rabbanon. But if you do hachana Yom Tov for Shabbos, or Shabbos for Yom Tov, that's also derived from this pasuk of Rabbah, that's Nisa de Raisa. Even if there's no malach. Even just to prepare something, not a malach, is also forbidden.
But this is not the same thing. He didn't do anything.
That's why Tosis says to Kasha, how can you make an Erev Tavshilin and then prepare on the first day for the second day, even do a malach? And we learned Rabbi Kivegis said, if you're not going to do a malach at all, you're just going to prepare, so even without an Erev Tavshil, let's say even a hotel, and you're absolutely not going to do any malachas at all. They're going to cook everything. You're not going to lift your finger to do a malach. But you're going to set up a little bit, whatever. You're going to do hachonis. You're not going to do any malachas, you're going to do hachonis. Rabbi Kivegis says, if you just plan to do a hachonis on Yom Tov for Shabbos, there's not even a need for Erev Tavshil. It's mutter to do the hachonis without Erev Tavshil. So that place is kasha. How can there be mutter? There should be an Issa Deraisa of Hachana de Rabbah, because Hachana de Rabbah contains within the two Issur. There's one Issur that it's forbidden to do Hachana on the first day for the second day, and it's an Issur to eat anything on the second day which was Huchan on the first day. That's considered an improper Hachana.
Because you didn't do anything.
Right?
So
here's
the
Issur, the
big
Lamitzvah.
Because you did something that was done on there, you took it. If you didn't eat it, there wouldn't be anything.
Nothing, right. So according to Rabbah, the din of the Mishnah will sometimes be an Issur Deraisa. Namely, when you have Yom Tov next to Shabbos, or Shabbos next to Yom Tov, it will be an Issa Deraisa to eat it. According to the other three opinions, that it has to do with Muktzah, so it's part of, it's an extension of the Gzeira Peris and Oshrim, or it's an extension of the Gzeira Mashmash Shazov, so that's purely Midirabbana. So this is where we left off last week on Gimel on the base. The Gemara says, Meisvei, about 7-8 lines from the top. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says that a Beit Yishenol to the Shabbos, Beit Yishenol to the Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat it. And since you don't plan to feed it to the animals, you plan to save it for Sunday and then you're going to cook it and eat it, so on Shabbos it's not considered Michael behavior, because you don't plan to feed it to the behavior. So it's considered Muktzah Mamish. Therefore it's considered Muktzah Mamish. Whether you hold that the reason for Beit Shenolda is that it's Muktzah, the reason for Beit Shenolda being forbidden is Hachon or whatever, but Sof Kosof, if you're not allowed to eat it, and you don't plan to use it for any other purpose other than eating it, so you're going to wait to eat it till Sunday, then you're going to cook it or fry it or whatever, so then in Eilam Shabbos, it's something which is not edible. It's not a kli, it's not ochot. It's roi l'achilas b'emet, but you plan the doctor not to feed it to the animal. And it's not roi l'achilas odom, you're not allowed to eat it. So in Eilam, it becomes muktzah. Everybody will agree that it becomes muktzah, even the other three opinions. who said that that's not why the Issa begins, but once there is an Issa, the Mimela, the Halacha will declare it as Mukta. So it says that it has the status of Mukta. And then it says, Sveiko Asura, if you have a Safek, whether this Beitza was known as the Shabbos or Be'er Shabbos, it says Sveiko Lechumra. And then the Braisa continues. So last week we discussed this line in the Braisa, Sveiko Asura, the Gemara asks why. If you hold like Rabbah, that you're dealing with an Issa Deraisa, even though it's not always an Issa Deraisa in all cases. It's only an Issa Deraisa if you have 2 days, Shabbos next to Yom Tov, and the Beitza was known that the second day, then it'll be an Issa Deraisa. But in most of the cases, it's a Beitza Shinod of the Shabbos alone, Beitza Shinod of the Yom Tov alone, be an Issa Derabbanon. But still the Gemara says, according to Rabbah, that it's max from an Issa Deraisa, it starts off with an Issa Deraisa. So we understand why you have to say Sveika Lechumra, even in the cases where it's even purely Derabbanon, even when it's not Yom Tov next to Shabbos. But if you all like the other few opinions, that you're dealing with Exera, Mashkin Shuzov, and Peres HaNoshrim, let's say Gamriya Dinder Rabbonon, so how can you say Sveika Asura? That was the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara on the next daf is going to give an answer that's quoted Halacha Lemaisa. We'll get to that. We have to hold our breath, still about 10 lines. And Abdallah and Aleph, with the Gemara quotes Ravashi Yomad with a tiny little Dalit, tiny letter Dalit, that Ravashi says that a Sveika de Rabbonon is not always Lakuda. If you have a Sveika de Rabbonon in a Dovish Yeshu Matirin, it's also the Chumah. But we didn't get to that yet. We're going to get to that.
So we were discussing before we said that the Gemara said it was also from a paper.
So last week we learned the Gemara here. That's what we're up to. So the Gemara said that line in the Braisa that says Sveik La'asura doesn't mean it's a Sofik if the Beitza was Nolda on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos. No. If that were the case, that would be a Sveik the Rabbanon, it would be the Kula. It means I have a Beitza that's Nolda from an eagle. A Beitza that's Nolda from a hen, but the hen had a Simon Trafis as a broken leg. Or broken head or something in such a way that even if you're shechted, the shechita won't help because it's going to be a trefa. So any beitza that comes from that hen is also bachila. Or let's say milk that you milk from a pig or from a horse is also bachila. It's yotzim nasa. So what if you take the milk from a cow, but the cow has a disease or a broken limb in such a way that the cow is a trefa? Even if you're shechted, it'll be also bachila. So you're not permitted to drink that milk. So that the Gemara seems to assume is an Issa Deraisa. So that's the pshat in the line. That we'll get to. That's what we're up to now. So the Braisa said, Sveik Asura. The Gemara said, it goes on that case. Now we're up to the last line of the Braisa. Sveik the Gemara. E hachi. Let's see. We're on Gimel Amid Beis, about 15 lines from the top. The line begins with a parenthesis, Aleph Lamed. So on that line, the Gemara says, "E hachi." If that line in the Braisa that says "Sveiko Asura," the line in the Braisa that has a tiny letter Gimel on it, that says "Sveiko Asura," that line is referring to a Sofik Treif. In other words, the Braisa begins, "Beitza Shenol B'Shabbos, Beitza Shenol B'Yontav is Asura." That goes, "Beitza Shenol B'Shabbos." Then you get the 2 lines later, we've already switched the topic. It's different. This is our Braisa and Maseches Beitza. It has all the dinim of all the Beitzim in the world. It talks about Beitza Shenol B'Yontav, talks about Beitza Treif, talks about Beitza Nevelo. Talks about beitza from an Of Tomei, talks about all kinds of hilchas beitza. So the third line in the Braisa, the fifth line in the Braisa, it says, Sveika Asura, has already switched the topic. We're no longer continuing to speak about Sofik Beitza Shenol B'Shabbos. No, that would be Sveika the Rabbanon Lekula. Sveika Asura goes as Sofik Beitza Strefa. So then what do you do with the next line, the very next line in the Braisa? You say you've already switched the topic and you're talking now about a Beitza Strefa. So how do you read the last line in the Braisa? In the Sarva Be'eleth, Kula Masuras. I have one Beitza that's Asur. That Beitza was Nisarvo. It got mixed in with 1,000 other Beitzim. And the Braisa says they're all Asur. How can that be? That one Beitza gets mixed in with 1,000 other Beitzim? Minat Torah, the din is one Beitza gets mixed in with other Beitzim. It's Mim B'min, it's Batul B'Rayv. All you need is 2 kosher Beitzim and 1 trefa Beitza and it'll be Mutter. With the Rabbanon, you may require, in some cases, in this case, better not. In some cases, you require Shishim. That'll be if it'll be lach balach. If you have already cracked the egg open. If the egg was cracked open and it's all broken up and it got mixed in with other eggs and I shook up all the eggs together. So I'm an atayra, if all the eggs have the same flavor, just that one was a beitzim from a treifa and the others are beitzim from a kosher chicken. So if I've already cracked them open and they're all blended in together, so I'm an atayra, I would say chad b'trei bakul. And the rabbanon the din would be that you would require shishim. But to say that even Aleph is not sufficient, that's impossible. And if I do crack the eggs open, it's Yavish B'Yavish, the eggs are still in their containers, or even if they're not in their containers, but I can see here's one yolk, and here's another yolk, and here's another yolk. And I just don't know which is the treif egg, which is the kosher egg. So So that even though it's all liquidy, that's called yavish b'yavish. That's not called lach b'lach. Lach b'lach means that everything is all blended in, and bevadai I'm eating part of the treifis. Any spoon that I eat over here is going to have a vadai mashahu from the treifis in it. So that's called lach b'lach. So lach b'lach, if it's min b'mina, if it's all the same thing, it's a treif egg mixed in with a kosher egg, then I tell you all you need is chad b'trei, it's bat b'durei, min the rabbanim in ishish. If it's yavish b'yavish, even with the rabbanim you don't need shish. The thing is that it's chad b'trei, it's bat. So the Gemara asks, what does that line in the Braisa mean? That Nisav Abel of Kul Masuris. Ihachi, the Gemara asks, if you're telling me that next to the last line in the Braisa is referring to a Beitza Streifa, and that's why Sveka Asur, because it's a Sveka Deraisa Lechumra, so Ihachi, if so, Eina Seifa, read the last line in the Braisa. Nisav Abel of Kul Masura is, how can it be? I Amrit Bishleima, if you give the other Pshat, the Pshat that we were learning all along, Savik Yantav, Savik Chol, oh, that we're talking from the beginning to the end, this Bryce is only speaking about Beitza Shenol beyond. We didn't switch the topic to speak about Beitza Streifa. Then we understand the last line in the Bryce, that it's considered Dovish Eish L'Matir. We have a din, that's what Rashi explains here. Rashi doesn't fully explain it, so he leaves it up to the Netziv. The Netziv has in his commentary, he explains it a little better. The din is that Eimer Vatlin is Salah Hatchir. That's a Gemara later. On the Abdalad on the day, the Gemara has right smack in the middle of the Yom, the Gemara has a din, Eim Mevatlin Yisr L'Hatzilah. It says Tanan, it's a Mishnah. Where's the Mishnah? It says on the left-hand side of the Yom, it's based on a Mishnah in Trumas. Eim Mevatlin. The Rashi and Taisis tell you where the Mishnah is. Taisis tells you, Rashi tells you, where's the Mishnah in Trumas? Eim Mevatlin Yisr L'Hatzilah means if I have a pot of soup, and I want to throw in a little bit of Chazer fats, just to give my wife a heart attack, let's say. She should get scared or something. Let's say she's cooking, let's say, fleishigs, and I'm going to take a bottle of milk and pour a little milk just to scare her. Right. So the din is that that's forbidden. If you, even though you know you're going to have shishim, and that whatever you're pouring in is going to be bottled with shishim, and when you're going to taste the whole thing, it's not going to have, it won't have the flavor of that little bit. If you're going to pour in a little bit of chazer fats, a tiny little bit, and by pouring in that little bit, the whole thing is going to be schmaltzy, then the shishim doesn't have. The whole idea of shishim is that we assume that if you have 60 times heter against a little bit of iser, so that you won't be able to discern the flavor. It won't be, the flavor won't be nicker. So you don't know. So usually things are bottled in less than shishim. Usually things are bottled in 20, 30, 40. The maximum is usually that you need shishim. If you have shishim, usually whatever it is will be bottled. Unless you have tray for salt. If you have tray for salt, even if you put in a speck of salt in a big pot of soup, you can taste the salt. Or if you have a davar charef like that, or if you have a milsa davig of a timer, something that's a flavoring. Or let's say you put in vinegar. Vinegar is very sharp. So you put in, somebody has some tray for vinegar and you pour it into some kosher food. So then you can taste the vinegar even if you have shishim against it.
Coloring?
Coloring that you can't taste but you can see. In the Shulchan Aruch it says beferish that it's mutter. That it is bottom. Shulchan Aruch says beferish that even though the thing is noticeable, it's nicker, it's mutter. The Dark Age Shuvah from the Minkatcher on Yeridaya has a long essay on this topic where he quotes later Achrayim. So on the Daf in the Big Shulchan Aruch, you look inside out, upside down, you won't find anybody talking about it. But the Minkatcher quotes other Sforim who talk about it. A lot of sources based on a Gemara. This is very relevant halacha. This is a common shaila that in the companies that use a treif ingredient, kosher companies. I'm not talking about Jewish companies. They have a kosher product that has a treif ingredient solely for the purpose of adding color. It's not for the purpose of adding taste at all, just for the purpose of coloring it. So the Munkacha has a long dispute about that based on a Gemara in the end of Bava Kama, of all places. The one in the end of Bava Kama raises a suffix, and it's an Ibayat Lev Sheik in the Gemara, where they say Chazusa Milsehi, or Chazusa Lav Milsehi. Chazusa means a color. You say that when color is absorbed, let's say originally this jacket was colorless. I had a wool jacket and it had no color. And then they took dye and they put in color. So the Gemara clears an abstract Chakira. What's the pshat with the jacket? Is it that I have a jacket and it's colored, whatever color you call it, so I'm not myself? Or should he say no? That I have a jacket and I have a cheftz of a color. What's the difference to midreita hints and midreita head? A jacket, I don't walk around with a colorless jacket with a bottle of color. The color was absorbed in the jacket. So the Gemara says, no, then after me is like this. What if the color, the dye, came from Orla Klai Hakera? Orla Klai Hakera, the din is that it's asabana. So what happens if I die? So if I have a sitting on the table, a bottle or a container of orlo klei hakerem juice, or the fruit itself, or the pigment that came from the skin or whatever, the thing is you have to burn it. It's b'sreifa. Rashi quotes on our daf. Rashi quotes a pasuk. So we learn, take a look in the Rashi over here where it says dvarim chavbeis. So it's the bottom of the narrow lines in Rashi before they get wide. So Rashi quotes Dvarim Chabeis. It says, "Ten tukdash hamleya azer shetizra tuas hakorin." That's the pasuk by Kilayim. They see the kamachot Kilayim. Ten tukdash hamleya. So the simple reading of the pasuk is tukdash. It'll be kodesh. It'll be also bahanor. It'll be also bahanor. So the Gemara darshins tukadesh. Rashi quotes tukdash. We darshin tukadesh. That not only is it also bahanor, is it kodesh? It's also bahanor. It's even tone srefer that you have to burn it. And we say that not only does that pasuk refer to Kloy HaKerem, that's what it's speaking about, Kloy HaKerem, there is some kind of a Zereshova, we don't know exactly where it is or what it is, but that's what Rashi and Taisha say on the list, Daphne Tzmure, we assume that there's some kind of a Zereshova, a Mamatzin, or a Binyanab, there's some kind of a Yafusa connecting and relating Orla with Kloy HaKerem. Orla means the fruits that grow on any tree the first 3 years, whether in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz. The fruits that grow the first 3 years are Rasa Bachil Banor. That's called Orla. And Kloy HaKerem is a different thing. Kloy HaKerem also applies. In Eretz Yisrael applies Menater, and Chutz La'aretz Kloy HaKerem applies Mid Rabbanon. That if you plant in the same field or near each other, I plant grapes, I plant a vine, and I plant wheat, or I plant any other kind of vegetable near it, a grain or a vegetable, so the grain or the vegetable together with the vine constitute Kloy HaKerem, and they're both also Bahanor. In Eretz Yisrael it's forbidden Menater to plant it, and if you plant it, it's also Bahil Bahanor Menater. And Chutz La'aretz is forbidden mid the Rabbanon to plant it, and mid the Rabbanon it's also Bachir Rabbanon. If you go to the store and you buy grapes, or if you buy wheat, or you buy anything, so the din is a Suffolk, or the Chutz La'aretz is mutter. You don't have to go clear. Maybe the guy planted it in Idaho or Wyoming or Wisconsin, whatever they grow the stuff, maybe it was Arlo. Maybe it was clear, Karen. You don't have to worry about that. And same thing, Arlo, Chutz La'aretz also. Whenever you have a Suffolk, I go to the store and I buy apples. How do I know? Maybe these apples are from the first 3 years of the fruits that grow on the tree, and it's also Bachir Rabbanon. So the Gemara says in Chutz La'aretz, whenever you have a Suffolk Orla, you have a Suffolk Kloy HaKerem, so the Mishnah says that it's mutter. And that's so, and then it's not so. Even if it grew on a goy's farm, right? Places in Kiddushin shows from the Yerushalmi like that. Even if it grew on a goy's farm, the laws of Orla and Kloy HaKerem still apply. If you know Bevadai, then it's Orla. If you know Bevadai, then it's Kloy HaKerem. If you don't know one way or the other, then if you live in Chutz La'aretz, so that's not lacha, that Suffolk Orla is mutter and Suffolk Kloy HaKerem is mutter. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's more chomer already. It's more severe if you have a Suffolk in Eretz Yisrael, then it's also Suffolk Orla is also Suffolk Kloy HaKerem as well. So the Gemara there, in the end of Bava Kamma, has the Shaila, what if I took coloring, what if I took a dye from Orla Kloy HaKerem, which is also Bahanor? So if I have it in the bottle, I have to destroy it. I have the fruits, I have to burn them. It's Ton Srefer. What if I didn't burn it? By mistake, they took it, B'mezi B'shegi, whatever, and they dyed a garment with it. So do you have to now, do you say that you have to burn the garment? Because I treat it as if the dye from the Orla Kloy HaKerem is bien, as if it's sitting there. I say I have a jacket, and I have dye from the Orla Kloy HaKerem. But you say, no, you have a jacket. I have a jacket that has that color. You don't say that it's considered as if you still have that color. So that's what the Gemara clears on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, well, the Gabi Orla Kloy HaKerem, there's nothing to clear about that to the Ferish and Mishnah. That if you've dyed a garment with Orla Kloy HaKerem, the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. If it says three times, Va'araltem, Olos Arem, and Yolachem, Sholosham Arem, Yolachem, from the fact that it's written three times, so we derive that Lo Yitzah Babo, you're not permitted to use it for dyeing, and if you did dye a garment with the Orla Kloy HaKerem, then you have to burn the whole garment. So that's a Beferish Pasuk, that for sure, I say that Chazus and Milsi, I treat the dye as if it's the end. But what about all other cases other than Orla Kloy HaKerem? So the Gemara is mistopic about that, and it's a blight that he buy the life sheep. So what do you do if you have any bite like Shita? So with respect to the Dr. Tshuva quotes, many Achranim say that Sveika deraisa lechumre and Sveika derabana lekula. So they say if it's an Issa deraisa that you mixed into a product, and now the whole product, and you mixed it in order to change the color, or even if you didn't mix it in order to change the color, but it didn't affect the color, it changed the color. So now I can see that it has a different color, so some say if it was an Issa deraisa that was mixed in, then I treat it as if the Issa deraisa still be in, even though you have shishim against the treif ingredient, and you absolutely can't taste it at all. It doesn't give any flavor. Still I say chazus and milsi with respect to dinim deraisa, because it's a suffix in the Gemara. And if it only started off as an Issa derabanan that fell in, then the Gemara had in the end of Bava Kamma this ibaya delayed shita. So the first can say that with respect to an Issa derabanan, tzveik derabanan lakum. If it's not nice and tam, just that it's lamare, it changes the color, then the first can say that it would be bava. It's a very serious shaila. It's in Europe, they have this shaila. In different parts of the world, they have this shaila. All over the world. They have factories all over the world. Some rabbi sent me a letter from New Zealand this summer, that he has that problem also. It's a universal shaila. That they have kosher products with all kosher ingredients,
except for one ingredient, which is ain't a nice and tam at all, but it changes the color, and it's for the purpose of changing the color of the thing. So what's the halacha is a bottle or not? It's a big asik in the Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch Guf, it says that it's always bottle. The fact that it's changing the color is to be ignored. And the Munkachi quotes many achrayim who say, not so poshut, not so fast, that it depends whether it's an isa deraisa and isa derabbanan, because of the Gemara's ibaya, the suffix in the end of Bava Kama, where they say chazusa milsa, chazusa labnos. I think we want to discuss. Changes the color. Yeah. That's a din derabbanan. No, there is a din minat peira, there is a din that a mikveh can only consist of water. If you're making mikveh from orange juice or from apple juice,
wine.
So it's not a kosher from wine, so it's not a kosher mikveh. So even if you have a mikveh that has 40 saw of water, but somebody poured in wine or somebody poured in some apple juice or something, and the wine or the apple juice changed the whole color, now it looks like it's not water. Even though I have 40 saw of water, but now it doesn't look like it's water, it looks like it's a mei peiros, and the Mishnah has a mikveh, that's a gzeira derabbanan, oto mei peiros. Since it's a din derabbanan, you're not permitted to be kovel the mei peiros. You have to use davke mayim, so if there was a shinui mare due to a liquid, so people may think that the whole thing is a mei peiros, so they'll think you're allowed to be kovel a mei peiros. So that's a gzeira derabbanan that you're not allowed. So chlorine is like this. If you use pellets of chlorine or use powder, you change the mare by using a solid thing, not by using a liquid, then the Mishnah says the feirishat is not shayin. The psul of shinui mare is only gzeira derabbanan if you pour it in a liquid. Because if you'll allow people to be tovel here, they'll think you're allowed to be tovel in the chlorine, which is not water. But if the shad is, what if you use liquid chlorine? If you use liquid chlorine and it changed the mare, then it'll be awesome if they're abundant to be tovel in the liquid. The mice, they don't use so much chlorine. The mice, they use very little chlorine and it doesn't change the color. If they were to use so much chlorine that it would change the color, the people would burn their eyes out. And they would be tovel in the liquid. They use very little. When you go into a mikveh, it a lot of times looks green or blue, but that's not because of the chlorine. That's because the tiles are blue. That's not because of the water itself. The water is colorless. There's a shayla, what if the water is filthy? That's a shayla that Rachel discussed. Shinu mare. Let's say you said, because shinu mare came from dirt that was solid dirt on the body. So solid is not a problem of shinu mare. What if you had mud? Sometimes years ago they used to have mud. They didn't have tile floors. The mikveh was a hole in the ground. The Mishnah used to have like that. They didn't have tile floors in the days of the Mishnah. When it rained, so then you had a mikveh. In every corner there was a mikveh. A block there was the mikveh. So the shayla is, but there's so much mud there. And the mud is liquidy already, so maybe that should be considered shinimah. So there's a whole discussion, the din is that's not, so there's a whole discussion in the first one, why not? Why shouldn't that be considered shinimah? So again, so we have a din, on dala on the base, we have a din, aim of atlim, isal hatfila, that it's forbidden to pour in a little treifus into a pot of kosher soup, even though I know I'm going to have shishim against it. And when I'm going to drink the soup, I will not taste the flavor of the treifus that I poured in. It's not changing the color, it's not changing the flavor, it doesn't have any effect. So why is the Meshuggah pouring in? He wants to give somebody a heart attack. He wants to show a stunt that he's going to pour in a little tray for ingredients. So the din is, Ey, mevatel nisa l'chatzil. There is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, whether that prohibition of pouring in a little bit of tray for knowing in advance that it's going to be bottled b'shishim, is that an isa deraisa, or is that an isa derabbanan? In Shulchan Aruch, we assume that it's only an isa derabbanan, that it's not an isa deraisa to pour in tray for. See if I have yavish b'yavish, then the person assume that it's a nisa deraisa. Let's say I'll take two kosher salamis and one non-kosher salami, and each one has a wrapper on it. And then I'm going to remove the wrappers and I'll mix them up, and then there's no way to determine which was the kosher salami, which is the treif salami. They all have the same percentage of fat. Let's say they're both manufactured the same way. The only thing is that this is gishochten and this is not gishochten. This one, you can tell, you can tell. Let's say they both have a lot of salt, a lot of spice. There's no way to tell which is which. So to take one tray for salami and two kosher salamis and to remove the peel on the outside and to mix them up until you're not able to recognize. So many poskim say that would be an isa derais. Because by yovesh, it's a different kind of a bittle from lach balach. If I pour in chazafats in a big container of soup, so the chazafats gets blended in, since there is shishim and I can't taste the flavor, it gets lost. So it's considered commander leisig dami. The Gemara has such a lashon in Pchor is that for base. The Gemara has a shayla. When you have treifus was bottled beroy, but the Gemara there talks not only about treifus, the Gemara talks about tumah. I have water that was tumah, it got mixed in with water that was tohar. Usually it should be mitamiyah. So the Gemara has a chetim said that it was mitamiyah. So the tumah digamashke got mixed in with the tohar digamashke. So do you say, so cause not that it's bottled beroy, if you touch it, you won't be tumah. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the nature of the din? Do you say that cause man that it's bottled beroy is commander leisig dami? It's considered as if it's not there, you ignore it completely, and you say, no, it's kimandi isei dami, it's there, but the halacha says that it's balt beroi. What's the difference What do you say? Kiman the leisig dami consider as if it's not there at all. They say, no, it's kiman nisig dami, but it's bottled there, right? So the Gemara has that, there's two naftalinas over there. So halacha l'maisa, how do we pass it? So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch passing a compromise, that it depends whether it's yavish b'yavish, halach halach. If it's yavish b'yavish, let's say by mistake I have three salamis, one tray for salami and two kosher salamis, and somebody removed the peel, somebody chopped them all up, and then later on they realize, now they can't identify which pieces, which slices for which salami. All the slices look exactly the same, but they didn't blend in together. Each slice is in a different answer. So that's called yavish b'yavish. And when you have karum, it's yavish b'yavish. And you say that it's bottle, chad, the tray is bottle. I consider that command isa dami. I say that the tray is, wherever it is still there. It didn't disintegrate, it didn't disappear. But Allah says that it's bottle, right? Allah says that you're permitted to eat. Hashemikin, if you have lach balach, a little bit of tray is gets mixed in and it gets nibla, it gets all blended in with the kosher. But then I say it's kiman de leisei dami. So that's what the pasuk say, halacha l'maaseh, that there would be a difference with respect to eino v'apanisa l'chatchila. With respect to eino v'apanisa l'chatchila, by yavish b'yavish, there it's an isa deraisa, because even after you have the bittul, the halacha says it's kiman leisei dami, the treifis is still treif, just that you can't identify where it is. So that's an isa deraisa to mix that up and to rely on bittul beroi. If you did it, there's a you are right around an isa, there's a minatari, you may eat it, but it's an isa deraisa to mix it up in order to eat it. And the Rabbonim, there's a penalty that forbids you from eating. And by lach balach, the Isser are pouring in a little bit of kosher fats into a whole mixture, and it's going to be bottled right. Yeah, the whole Isser is only since by lach balach it's command leisei dami. The halacha considers it as if it disintegrated, as if it disappeared. So the whole prohibition in the first place to mix it in is only the Rabbonim. And but still, if you violated it, then with the Rabbonim it's also deep. There's a penalty there too. What do you mean by guy? So that's our Gemara. That's exactly our Gemara. This din. Huh? So that's our Gemara. This din of aim of Atlan Isa Lachatila. That you're not allowed to mix in the Isa. Does that only apply if I mixed it in? What if the guy mixed it in? Do you say that that's called Lachatila, that I shouldn't buy it from the store? And they say that's called b'riyeved. He already mixed it in. So the din is the b'riyeved. If it's already mixed in, it already fell in. So you are permitted to eat it. If I mixed it in b'mezid, knowing that you're forbidden to when I mix it in anyway, then there's a penalty in the rabbanon that they consummate that I'm not allowed to be nena. I'm not allowed to eat it later on. I'm not allowed to eat the product, the food that I mixed in the treif ingredient into. But if the guy did it, the guy didn't violate any aver. He didn't violate an aver. So there is no penalty in the rabbanon. So do you say, well, that's called b'riyeh, but the guy already mixed it in, so it's ready, and it's being sold in the store, so I'm permitted to buy it. That's not a violation of the name of Atlan Isa L'chatchila. Do you say, no, that I should go and buy it, that's called l'chatchila. So that's what you see from our Gemara, that it is called l'chatchila, that you're not allowed to buy it. The Gemara here talks about a Beit Ish and Olga B'Shabbos. So the Beit Ish and Olga B'Shabbos is beyond, let's say, it's only an Isa D'Rabbonim. It's an Isa Rav Muktzeh, it's an Isa Mashkin Shazel, Peres Anoshim. Three out of the four interpretations that we had, that the Beit Ish and Olga is only forbidden to be eaten in the Rabbonim. And yet the Raisa says, in the Sarva Be'eleth, Kulamasuris, if that egg gets mixed in with 1,000 eggs, you're not allowed to eat any of the eggs. So the Gemara wants to know why not. So the Gemara says simply, since if you wait till after Havdalah, you won't have to rely on Bittul Beroi. So who tells you to eat it on Yontif, relying on Bittul Beroi? That's your Tachlana Be'iser. Why should you eat it today on Yontif, relying on Bittul Beroi? Wait till after Havdalah and Tachlana Be'heter. And there won't be any problem. The Beit Hashanah of Yontif is only us at TBE, not Yontif. If you wait till after Yontif, there's no problem at all. Everything is kosher. So why eat it on Yontif, relying on Bittul Beroi? Wait till after Yontif, don't rely on Bittul Beroi. I better get mixed up already. So you see the Feirish from the Gemara that that's an extension of the din of Eim Avat Panes Delo Hatchila. Not only is it forbidden for you, for me, for a Jew, to mix in the treifus. Even if it got mixed in by itself, it's forbidden to rely on the Bittul when it's not so necessary, it's not so essential. No, you see from this Gemara that it's a violation of Eim Avatlan Isa L'chatchila to rely on, not only to mix the taruvas, to create the taruvas, to mix in the treifus, even if the treifus was mixed in already, for me to rely on the people. Kosher, there's no shayla.
Even though you mixed it in purposely.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Matzoi Shabbos is kosher 100% on the Hadron. The Beit Hashanah is only us.
That's the reason, in other words, Because now, the way out,
there
is no way out.
It is also a way out. Who tells me to buy the product from the store? So I won't eat this. I won't eat the cookies. So don't eat the cookies.
You said about that it's impossible that they can't be sold
in the factories.
In the factories,
when they make lots in the factories, there's always tons of stuff coming, and it's always broken
bread. Yeah. Why? Only because it's impossible. In other words, you do rely on it in that case.
And the why don't we forbid buying machine matzahs?
Yeah, I remember.
I don't know. It's a good chat. No, but many pasuks, the Ramon has like that. The Ramon Yeradeh has like this. It's not only is it called Eim Lachat Nisal Hatchidah that you're not allowed to mix it in, if a guy mixed it already.
Because you brought the whole shot of coloring. You see the special thing that you
don't have to learn.
The whole thing of coloring,
and only
by coloring,
you also not bottle. Munkash makes it, it's not bottle, period. We're talking that it is bottle. But you're not allowed to mix it in. And even if the guy mixed it in, you're not allowed to buy it. Why should you buy it? Achetach Leinabisa, why should you buy it? And rely on Bittul Berei. Buy someone else's. Buy from the Glatt Kosher place or whatever that doesn't have any Bittul Berei. Why should you rely on the Bittul Berei? And Mevatelis Muhatzila applies in two cases. Number one, you're not allowed to create the mixture. You're not allowed to mix in the treifas. Number two, even if it already was mixed in, you're not allowed to rely on the Heter of Bittul Berei because you can avoid it easily. See, if no, then the Ramah has. If nobody else sells this product, let's say they sell cookies, and I know that by mistake some treifa ingredient fell in. And I know that there are other people who sell the same kind of cookies, and there was no mistake and no treifa ingredient fell in. So buy the other ones. Why buy these? Unless the other ones are much more expensive than the Ramos, so that's not called Eimarat and Mishnah Hatzim. You're not willing to spend so much money in order to get the other product that doesn't have the Taruvi Saris. But if it's everything else is equal, so then there are more rights in the Eredeya, that that's also a violation of Eimarat and Mishnah Hatzim. To buy the Taruvis that has the Yisra mixed into it already, when you can easily avoid it, for the same price you can get something else. If you can't get anything else, or you can only get it if you spend more money, then it's not a violation of Eimarat and Mishnah Hatzim. But if you get the same product for the same approximately the same amount of money elsewhere where they're not relying on Bittul Berei, then the Ramos says that's also included in the Eim Ratan Isla Hatzim.
In the
They don't use it for anything but to cook kosher food in a tray to pack. We assume that that's a different shot. That's not a shot of Eim Avat Nisla Hatfila. Because you're not really interested at all in having the tray for bli and the pot go into the kosher food. It's a different thing. So he said the rice, and he said the rabbana, whatever we say in Shavuot, and he said the rabbana. It depends. If it's a fleshik pot and you use it for milk, then it's a shot of nakana. You use it for parvi. You have a fleshik pot, you use it for parvi, that's called a nakana. That's a different thing, but it's not a violation of Eim Avat Nisla Hatfila because you're not really interested in the bli coming out from the death nakana. So you're also. But the interest is not at all that the tam from the chazer, from the pork should go into the stuff, then it's not a problem with Eim Avat Nisla Hatfila. The case in Shulchan Aruch like that, the Ramon has halacha l'maaseh such a case. They used to have barrels that held wine and other beer and other contents, and used to and the barrels had wooden slats. The barrels were made from wooden pieces of wood. And in order to prevent the beer or the wine from leaking, is to put chazafat, chazafat that Amor writes, in between the cracks. So they weren't interested that the chazafat should go into the nice and tam, into the beer. And it wasn't nice and tam because there was shishim against it. So the Ramah says that there's no violation of Eim Avat Nisla Hatfila over there because you're not interested in having the flavor going. Yeah, that's not his desire at all. He doesn't want it. It's going to ruin the flavor of the beer. So even if a little flavor goes in, it's going to be bottled with shishim, so that's not a violation of Eim Avat Nisla Hatfila. And the pig fat you can't eat. The pig fat is at the end. It's on the outside, and you can touch it. You can wipe it off with your fingers, and you'll know that that's the pig fat. So that is another bottle, but it's still there. So if you bought some, if you have a kosher cheese, and it has smeared on the outside pig fat, so you have to slice off the whole outside.
Yeah, but
Because that's not a Talmudist, it's Mamish B'yam, you know, that they change the thing. They were talking, that's a Yavish, it's a solid thing of cheese. They were talking about Lach, if you have beer inside the keg, and the Chazer fat, the Chazer schmatz, whatever, on the outside may give a palm into the beer, but the palm that it gives in is going to be bottled to shishim, because the beer is all liquid. So the flavor is going to float around, it'll be bottled to shishim. So that case, the Ramah says, it's not a violation of any violation of Chazer. So again, so the Gemara says, Ihachi. Ihachi is a technical term. Ihachi always means like this. The Gemara here spells it out. Iyamet Bishleima. If you would have learned the alternate shot, that the entire Braisa from the beginning to the end is speaking about a Beitzish and all the Bishabis of the young people, and Sveika Asura, for some reason or another, you say Sveika Lechumre here, that's what the Gemara is going to figure out later on the next daf, why. Then we understand the last line that says, the Sarvabel of Kulam Asura is because it's a double Sheshon Matirin. The Beitzish and all the Bishabis, if you wait till after Shabbos, it'll be Mutter. So even though it already got mixed in on Shabbos with 1,000 other baits in, you're forbidden to rely on little variety, because not only is there a dinah in the bat, you're not allowed to mix in the yisr into 1,000, even if it got mixed in by itself, you're not allowed to rely on little variety, you can easily avoid it. So if the alternative is, if you won't rely on little variety, you're going to lose it, you're going to have to sell it to a guy, you have to throw it out in the garbage. And I say, no, that it's already in his bottle, so you're permitted to eat it. But here, it's an easy solution. Wait till after Shabbos is over, and then you eat the whole thing, there won't be any shabbat. The baits should know there's only forbidden on Shabbos, aren't you? So that's only good if you say the entire Braisa from the beginning to the end is speaking about Beit Shinova. But if you tell me, Sveik Lasuras, which is the topic, it's a new Braisa, that from that point on we're talking about Trefa, then how do you read the last line in the Braisa? I have a Beitza from a chicken that's a Trefa. So it's Trefa, so it's us about Hidim and Atayr. I'm sure it's us about Hidim and Atayr. So the Sarva Bell of Kulam Asuras gets mixed in with 1,000 eggs. It's us, it does make sense. If the eggs are Yavish B'Yavish, if each egg is separate, each egg is in its shell, or even if they're not in their shell, but each yolk is separate, it's Yavish B'Yavish, it's Bokul Chad B'Trey. Or you need that two eggs that you know are not treif. And even if you have one egg that's treif, you can't identify which is which, so they're all kosher. And if they're all beaten up, all the eggs are chopped up together, so it's called lach balach. So if you have shishim, it's batul. Why should you need? Why should you say that even the elephants, it's also? So that's what the Gemara says, that doesn't make any sense. Ihachi, if so, ain't a sefer. How can you read the Sarva Bell of Kulam Asuras? It doesn't make any sense. Yom b'shleima. If you learn the alternate shout that the entire brisa from the beginning to the end is going on, Beit Shemal the Yontif. Oh, then it's good. So the Yontif, so the Chal. Have a double shesh matirin. And that didn't we know. Called double shesh matirin. I feel the elephant like bottle because relying on people when it's not really necessary, when you can easily avoid it, is itself a violation of Eimabat and Islam Hatir. Eli, I'm a Tzavik Trefa. But if you say that next to the last line in the Brisa, you switch the topic, right? There's still a double shesh in the matirin. So why not say with Tivatul Beruba? Why not say that it should be Batul Beruba? That's the Gemara's kash. The Chi Tema. Maybe you'll give the following solution. We have a Chumra Midir Abonon. But sometimes things are not bottled. So one thing, we have a din that Bali Chaim are not bottled. Let's say I have 5 cows. And I know that one cow was a trefa. I know it broke a leg and now it healed. And now I can't identify which of the 5 cows was the one that became the trefa. We passed them on the machlek, the Rosh and the Ramban. We passed them on a trefa, and the chazeres machshela. That once the animal developed the simi trefas, even if it gets healed, even if it gets cured, it remains that it's a trefa of the animal. But if it behemoth was a carbon and it became a balmum, and then you healed it, so there's a pasuk in the chumash that after the mum heals, and you may be mocked if it on the mizbeach. You don't say that once it gets a moon, it's possible that it's out of what? It has a moon over there, and the moon goes away, so then it's kosher lachrov. But if an animal became a trefa, and was also bachilo, even if the disease was healed and was cured, and now it's as good as new, we pass the malacha that it's still awesome. That's machlok is the Russian Rambam, we pass the shemot, that it's awesome. So what if you had 5 cows, one of them used to be a trefa, and now it healed, and now it's all better, and you can't identify which cow is the trefa, which is the kosher. So in our you should say the chavi trei bottle. One trefa cow got mixed up with four kosher cows. I should say it's kosher. But that's a chumra midravon, the balei chayim are not bottle. Live animals are not considered as blending in a conglomerate. You can't say that I ignore it as if it disappeared. A live animal doesn't disappear. So let's say I'll shech or fart. It won't be alive anymore. That's even about the chachilah. So what happens if they didn't realize? They didn't realize. The one that did the shechting didn't realize it was the shogeg. So then there's no room for a penalty. So then I still say that it's not bottle. Why? I can't use the din of Palochayim Chashiv Lepeh have a different din. It's a din of Chaticha Ruil Eskabi. Chaticha Ruil Eskabi is not possible. Chaticha Ruil Eskabi means if you have a Dova Chashiv, let's say I have lamb chop, or I have a throat of chicken, I have a Chaticha that's a Chashiv piece of meat. Then I would think a Chabit, I guess, to feed it to a guest if someone would come to my home. So there's a din of Chaticha Ruil Eskabi, it's also not possible. Even if I already shefted the animal and I've cut it up into lamb chops, let's say I've cut it up with the chicken into throat cloth, unless I ground up all the chicken, it's all ground up, so then it's lach balach. Then it's going to be lach balach. What is it? I'll be yops. But if I didn't grind up the chicken, if I cut it up into chashim pieces, and I have another din that it's not batla, it's called chaticha roilus kav. So this one din is only the rabbanon. All the things that are not batla are only the rabbanon. And I tell you, there is no such thing. That something is also, and it falls into taruvis, and I treat it as if it's a dover chashim, oibit bifnei atzmo, and it doesn't blend in with the others. All the dvarim chashuvim that are not batla are only the rabbanon. There's one opinion in Rishon that human beings are not batla. the Shiloh did. Let's say in the hospital, there are 10 babies were born one fine day, and 9 of the mothers are Jewish and 1 is a goy. See, if one baby is Ashkenazi, that's a goy. You know, not always, that's it. Okay. So let's say, I don't know, they're all vicing, check all the blood types, and there's no way to determine who's the Jewish child is and not Jewish. So the Ramban's opinion is that that's called a suffix, that you wouldn't say that it's above the goy. You wouldn't say the people are above the goy. That's what the Ramban holds. And Tosfos holds that that's not true. Even Bnei Adam are also both of the right places. Sanhedrin holds like that. That's a shame. According to the Ramban, they existed in their eyes, so that everything is really Adam HaKosher, it's not both of them, not terrible, but by Bnei Adam. And all of these din in the Rabbanon, that Bali Chayim HaHashivu V'loi B'Tedich HaKifu, it is covered, a barrier is not bottled, a whole bunch of other things that are not bottled, they're all called the Tikkun Rabbanon, and their eyes are Tikkun, they're all patterned after the din their eyes said that Bnei Adam are not bottled. According to Tosfos, that even Bnei Adam are bottled the right, Tosfos even has a wild Tosfos. Tosfos has a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. There are people sitting in jail for the five misa. Let's say you have 10 people are sitting in jail for five misa, and one innocent person gets mixed up with the 10 people, and you can't identify who's who. So now you have 11 people in jail. One is the jail warden, he's innocent, he's a tzaddik, and 10 are prisoners, and they're all the 10 people are supposed to get a chiv misa today. So Tosfos is bothered with a kasha. Why does the Mishnah say that you have to let them all go free? Why don't you say he's bottled the right and you should give misa to all 11? So Tosfos works very hard on that kasha. Very hard. I mean, when it comes to Sophie, because you don't go past the right. Tosfos doesn't answer that. Tosfos doesn't answer that. Other Rishonim say that you don't go past the Ruba, this is a common when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh. Other Rishonim Kubetz answers like that.
I think
if
I could hear that some people are actually, like some people are trying.
Also, Tasha.
You give the weaker,
you give the lesser Misa, right. But Tosfos is the same Tasha, if 10 are 5 Misa and 1 is not, so why don't you even give Misa to the one who's not 5 Misa? Because he goes across, that's a Tasha.
Would that be like
the
way also in one way?
As well. With the Rabbanon, Balei Chaim are not bottom. On the level of the Rabbanon, we have it there.
The
Kuchnev,
you said the
Kuchnev
is not
that,
but
the Kuchnev is not Shabbat. I mean, you should go by the right to kill enough, you know, but with the Rabbanon, you don't go by the right by, you don't say it will be right by Balei Chaim. So with the Rabbanon, there's a parrot. The Rabbanon, they're allowed to reach, but that's one still on the level of the right, so what would it do? Now, Kopan Gil is another Gemara, that we have a deal with the Rabbanon and Balei Chaim are not bottled. We have a deal with the Rabbanon that berry is not bottled. Berry doesn't have to be a live animal. Let's say I have that tracer fish that's mixed in with the kosher fish. And I removed all the skins, and there's no way to identify which is which. Each fighter chopped up all the fish. It's not called a berry anymore. But if I didn't chop up the fish, and each fish is shalom, if I cut each fish in half already, it's already not a barrier. But if I have each fish as a double shalom, it knows not Balei Chaim anymore. And even if it's not a hafich, it's already a stavik. It's some kind of a fish that people don't, they're not mechabit guests, a little sardine or something, a little tiny fish or something. That chase the fish got mixed in with 1,000 kosher fish. And there's no way to identify which is which. So that wouldn't be a din of Balei Chaim, it's there. Wouldn't be a din of hafich, it's a stavik, this may have been. These tiny little fish you don't give to guests when they come to visit. But it was still the din of burial. The burial is a din. The burial is like that. So a third din of burial is like that. So now the Gemara quotes a fourth din. Within this category of things that are not bottled by yavish b'yavish when they get mixed in with others, because of their chashivas, I treat it as if it's oimid b'fnei atzmo, as if it stands on its own and it doesn't lose its identity in a conglomerate. So there's a din of a davish b'minyan, something like a davish b'minyan. Davish Minyan usually means something else, but here means Davish Minyan usually means if the Chacham make it Zera the Rabbanon, they were Nimnu the Gomru. It means the rabbis were under the Minyan and they voted that something should be, they enacted it Zera the Rabbanon for reason X, Y, Z. So even if in a generation or two later, a period of time comes, that the reason for the Zera no longer applies, I say that the Zera still is binding, because the Davish Minyan taught me in Achela Hatira, that once the Chachamim instituted the Nisa the Rabbanon, even though it was instituted for a clear reason, and the reason doesn't apply in this case, I say the Zera the Rabbanon still applies, even though the reason doesn't apply. That's the term Davish Minyan, it's often enough like it. That's a Davish Minyan in the sense that the person who enacted this Zera the Rabbanon were Omdu the Minyan. They voted and they instituted a rabbinic enactment. This is a different Davish Minyan. Here we're talking about Davish Minyan. Let's say there's one trace of tape recorder. There's one tape recorder that's also Baal Noah. Let's say somebody, a Japanese, a manufacturer, that worshipped this tape recorder. He thought that was God. So this is his Avodizor. So it's also Baal Noah. It's also Baal Noah. And then it gets mixed up with a whole bunch of other tape recorders. We have no way of identifying, even though they're not, no two tape recorders are the same. We don't remember which, they're all made in Japan, we have no way of identifying which is the one that's also, which is the one that's mutter. So the Gemara says here, that since when you sell tape recorders, you sell each one individually. You don't sell a pound of tape recorders. You don't sell a box of tape recorders. You do sell a box of tape recorders, but you know that there are 36 in a box, or 185 in a box, whatever. So basically, you know how many you're selling. You don't sell, here's a whole bunch, here's a big fool, without counting how many there are. So since you always sell each one individually, that's also considered like a double chosh of Eibud B'fnei Atzmo, or some other Rabbonon. There's a chumra that such a thing is not both. So the Gemara now quotes a Mishnah, half of the din is in a Mishnah, half of the din is in a Braisa. When do you say that the thing has such a chashivas It's not a barrier, and it's not a chaticha, the way they're stopping, and it's not a balkai, but it's still a gover shebe minyan. It's a gover which is sold individually. You never sell it by the pound to say that it's bottle agav, the rest of the conglomerate. It's always sold individually, and if you sell them all together, because you're selling a dozen, or you're selling 20, or you're selling 100 at a time, so you know what the number is. You only sell it by the unit. You don't sell it by the bunch of them together without counting each unit individually. So the Gemara says, "V'chi teim," and if you're going to tell me that the reason for the last line in the Braisa that says, "Besav of kulam asuris," that if you have a beitzas tefer, the often of if you have a beitzas tefer that gets mixed in with another 1,000 kosher eggs, the beitzas tefer is not bottled, and you're not allowed to eat any of the eggs, you're going to tell me why? "V'chi teim," or maybe you'll tell me, "Beitzas hashuva," the Lady Taylor, that since they sell eggs, a dozen eggs, so they're selling it by the unit. You don't go to the store and say, "Sell me a pound of eggs." Or do you? So it depends on where you're buying. If you buy the groceries, so they sell it by the dozen eggs. If you're, let's say, if you're manufacturing mayonnaise or something, then you do buy it by the pound. Hellman's, when they don't buy, they buy pounds of eggs. They don't care whether it's a dozen or 50 dozen, a million dozen. They want to know how many pounds of eggs they're going to have. So what's the din? You want to know what's the din if you have an egg, which is sometimes some people are interested in buying the eggs by weight. The big firms, the big companies buy it by weight, and other people buy eggs by unit. When we go to the store, we buy a dozen eggs, a dozen eggs. We buy it by the unit, and other companies buy it by the weight. Would you consider that a dover shebe minyan, that it's not bottled? In order to be considered a dover shebe minyan, that it's not bottled, it means you only sell it by unit, like a tape recorder. You don't sell a bunch of tape recorders. No one ever sells a pound of tape recorders. Are you saying, if it's ever sold by unit, then I say that it has the chumra dover shebe minyan, that it's not bottled. So the Gemara says that's a machloitis amaroyim. How to read a mission? That's how the Gemara quotes. If he came in, if you tell me that the reason why the egg is not bottled, it's a chashuv of a loyd tailor, has a chashivus because he sells the eggs individually. Hey, Nisha, this is only Nisha. This chat is only valid, correct, Laman, the Yom HaKoyim, the Yom HaKoyim, who says, kosher darkul imar shanim, anything that you ever sometimes sell by unit is treated as a dovish and minyan and is not bottled, so then it's Nisha. The eggs are sold in a grocery store by the unit. El Laman, the Yom HaKoyim, the other Amora, who says only esher darkul imar shanim, only such a thing that's always sold by the unit. It's never sold by the way. Then my Yikul Amarim, what are you going to say? Really, you have this argument to me, I'm a Roy Man of Mishnah. Yeah, this now we have a Mishnah. Misha Hayel of Havilei Tiltor, Shal Kloi HaKerem. You learned that if you have Kloi HaKerem, so the Dinan said, it's also Bachil and Asabah. Now, Kloi HaKerem is if you have grapes growing right near wheat or right near grain or near vegetable. If you have grapes growing next to an apple tree, a grape growing next to a pear tree that's not Kloi HaKerem, it's nothing. You committed Lachatzinah to plant one tree next to another, there's no violation. You're not going to graft a branch from one tree onto another tree. That's a Misha Derais, even Chutzlans. That's HaKolos Yuranus, to graft even from an acid tree to a lemon tree to an acid tree, and they're so similar, so many possible hold that that's also an issue of the rice, so that's grifting, that's our cover. But to plant one tree next to the other, that's how to go. Some kind of vegetable. Yeah, it's not a tree. I don't know what it is. But it's a vegetable, it's not a fruit. So the rice says if you have bundles, if you have a bushels of tilton or some kind of a vegetable, which happens to be Kloy HaKerem, why? Because this vegetable is growing right near vines. So if you have a grain or vegetables growing near vines, so both the grapes and the vegetable and the grains, everything becomes asabahana. So the thing is, you have to burn all of it because we learn that from the passage, the Rashi quotes. Ten tuk da shamloya, Rashi quotes dron chabez. Ten tuk da shtukaresh, you have to burn it. So the thing is, what happens if the bushels of tilton of this vegetable, which betrayed, which were asabahana, got mixed up with other bushels? And some bachelors have bushels and bushels and bushels of vegetables that are kosher, and one bushel of the same kind of vegetables that's asabahana. So now it got all mixed up. So can't you say it's bottled with shishim? So you don't even need shishim. You don't even bottle half the tray because the yavish be yavish. The yavish should be bottled. So the dinner is not. It's rather bacher, it's rather bacher. Everything is cool and you don't. Everything is awesome. Why? Why is everything awesome? What's the use of dibri red mayor? The mayor says, it's awesome, nothing helps. Shishim doesn't help and masayim doesn't help, nothing helps. But the chanimah, remember the chanimah say, what are you talking about? Yalu should be bottled by achas and masayim. And normally we say that whenever you have yavish be yavish, a tray for things that mixed up with kosher food, and if yavish be yavish, then it's half the tray is bottled. It's all in the half the tray. So there's a din with the rabbanon, there's a chumra with the rabbanon, that sometimes chad the tray is not sufficient, sometimes a roll, but plain roll, chad the tray just means a plain roll, is not sufficient. The din is that if it's truma, they got mixed up with non-truma, in order to declare that the truma is bottled, you have to have mayor. You have to have 100 units of chulin against the 1 unit of truma. And if it's parlor, the more dashes that from a puzzle, but it's only a smachman. And if everything is a chad the tray is bottled, you need truma. And that's a show from the gemara, neither that it's only a chumra with the rabbanon, that you need mayor to be in a battle with truma below. And because truma is only also about chulin with the rabbanon. A kohen is permitted to eat truma, but a non-kohen is forbidden to eat truma. But is it forbidden to get hanor from truma? What if you have a sack? What if you have a sack of truma? So you're not allowed to sit on the sack. Instead of sitting on the floor, you want to sit on the sack of truma. So the thing is a truma. What about no? Maybe it's bizarre lechem, it's a different thing. But if the kohen is allowed to sit on the sack, I'm allowed to sit on the sack also. There's no additional avera if the non-kohen sits on the sack. Because truma is what about no to a zar. A zar is only also to eat truma. It's also about chila to a non-kohen. But it's what about no. You want to learn from a person that truma is what about no. So the Gemara makes a kavachana. Not a kavachana, it's a system that Gemara says it. We had a chumra, made it up on the chumra. In order to be bottled, you have to have echad mayor. You have to have
the one unit of truma has to have 100 units of chulin to be mevatlet. So that's only by truma, which is only also by chulin mutabana. So there it's sufficient with meyer to be mevatlet by orav by akeren, which is kafal isulo. It's twice his yasa, so to speak. It's double isel from truma. Because truma is mutabana, orav for akeren, rosamana. And therefore kafal all the yasa. So the Torah requires, not the Torah, it's only the rabbanon, requires twice as much to be mevatlet. So you'll need masai, you need 200 units of chulin of heker against the one unit of the orav that akeren to be mevatlet. So that's what the rabbanon say. Yadu b'achas masai, it would be better if you have achas masai, what do you mean achas masai? I mean 200 units of kosher, bushels of kosher vegetables against the one unit of the oil, the one unit of the koya ker. We wouldn't call it achas masai, we would call it yadu b'masai. The Taran call it achas masai, means that the sum total after the one bushel type of the chafer vegetable that mixed in with the other bushels, so altogether you have 201 bushels. 200 of these 201 are kosher bushels, and one bushel of vegetable of the tiltar is the chafer bushel. So that's the thing that is bottle. What kind of a lashon is yadu? A very funny lashon. Why doesn't he say that Chacham Maimrim arrays a bottle box from Osai? May Shama Chacham that Kloy Akeem is bottle box from Osai. Very strange Losh. So it's an Ishkin Kasha. I don't know. That's what the Losh and Akana always use. Whenever they talk about a trace of food becoming bottle, so they use a strange Losh and Yalo. It becomes Ola. It's Ola means that it's bottle. Rashi doesn't want like that. Rashi over here comes up with a unique interpretation, which the Ramo, the Shulchan Aruch, quotes Lalo. Rashi has a Chumer. He says, Yalo means like this. If you have Halacha Lamaisa, let's say the story, let's go back to the salami. I had one trace of salami, two kosher salami. And then trade the salami got to the Galicia workers, and the two kosher salami got to feed to the Jewish workers. And by mistake, some wise guy came, they took off the skins from all the salamis, and they had absolutely no way to identify which is the kosher salami, which is the trade of salami. But the dinner is that it's buckled, had the trade of buckled. So which one are you permitted to eat? Whichever one you want. You can eat either this one, that one, or the other one. So Rashi has a chumra, you have to take one of them and throw it out. And make believe as if the one that you threw out is the trade one. That's if it's had the trade buckled. One trade of salami got mixed up with two kosher salami. And what happens, let's say, if truma? Truma became buckled, one bushel of truma got buckled in 100 bushels of non-truma. So instead of throwing it out, instead of throwing it away, throw it to the kite. So you give one to the kite, that's a mishnah. That part of the Rashi, that's the definition of mishnah. That if you have truma, one bushel of truma gets mixed in with 50 bushels, with 90 bushels, with 99 bushels. So then you're not allowed to eat any of the 99 bushels. Not buckle yet, maybe not one, but you got mixed in one unit of one bushel of truma. Got mixed in with 100 bushels of chulin, so then it is good. It is buckle, but you have to take one bushel and give it to the kite before you can beat anything else. Oh, so all the other Rishonim quote the Yerushalmi because it's a problem of Geneva, that's why. Because by truma there's a double problem. Number one, the truma is also bachila to a non-kohen. So the din is you have to have mayo. And even after you have the mayo, so the truma is about to burrow, so you're permitted to eat it. But what do you mean? It's Geneva? You want to give the mushroom at the end of the day. What if I have my hand open and I have five of my nickels? And by accident your nickel falls and I have six nickels. And you have no way to identify which is your nickel, which is my five nickels. The Gemara says, can I say, ha ha, it's buckled beret? So I keep all the six nickels. So the Gemara says, what are you talking? Yochel halo, the chadi. I mean, I'm going to be joyous, I'm going to have now six nickels, and I say, your nickel was buckled beret. So the Gemara says, in the end of the system, nothing doing. The only dinner this beret is, I'm insuring, I'm tumor, and halo says, buckled beret. But mummin, the Gemara has also given mummin is not buckled beret.
It's not
that
coin.
You can get any coin you want. So the Rishami claims that that dinner in the Mishnah, that truma became buckled the most tenaya. That you have to take away one bushel and give it to the coin only applies to truma. Because you have, in addition to the problem of Machorah Hasura, that a non-Kohen is a dinti truma, that a problem of Gehla Sheva, that the truma is the nickel that belongs to the Kohen. So how can I say that his truma is bottled the Neyah, bottled the Rai? So I ignore the fact that there was truma there. What do you mean? But the truma originally belonged to the Sheva Kuna. So I can't ignore the problem of the Dinamonis. I have to return one bushel of this kind of vegetable to some Kohen or another. But the Rishami said that it's only in that case. Only by truma. It doesn't apply to any other list. And Rashi holds not so. Rashi holds that it applies to, if you have two kosher salamis. One tray of salami, and it became bottle bread, and you can't identify which is which. You have to throw out one, I'll give one to the guy. I can't eat one salami, I'll give one salami to my son, I'll give one salami to my cousin. I can't give it to three different Jews. If I leave all three salami, then for sure I'm violating that. I'm eating one salami, that's it. But I can't give it to three different Jews. I have to give, either throw one out, I feed it to the animal, I feed it to a non-Jew. It's the minute to eat the tray of salami.
No.
Only by Yavish be Yavish. We'll get to that, That's the answer to the question. It's a little too fast. We'll get to that. So Rashi claims that that's what it means over here. Yalu. Yalu means Tzorach Lahori. That when you have the one bushel of Klayim got mixed in with 200 bushels of Klayim, then I say that it's buckle, but you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat. I can't eat 100 bushels and give 101 to some other Jew to eat it. I have to take one bushel and throw it out and give it to the guy. Because I have to treat one as if it's also. That's the question. What does Rashi do with the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi says the Seirish. But this din, that Tzorach Lahori, that even after the thing is buckle, you still have to remove one unit and set it aside and not eat it. Only applies to truma because of Gedla Shevet. Only special din in truma because of Gedla Shevet. So the Mordechai answers the Rashi is only talking over here about Yavish B'Yavish. Balach, Balach, Rashi wouldn't have such a din. Let's say a little bit of Chazifat, seven for a pot full of soup, and for sure the Shishan is a big gigantic god of soup. And for sure the Shishan again for Chazifat, so Rashi's going to tell me I have to take out a spoonful and throw it out. That doesn't really make sense over here either by Yavish B'Yavish. So Rashi doesn't make sense before, but then I'm going to quote the Rashi, Papa. So the person didn't. So the Mordechai said that Rashi's chumra only applies in the situation when you're dealing with Yavish B'Yavish, because the dick love Yavish B'Yavish, which was before, is Command Isid Dome. I don't say that I ignore it as if it disintegrated, it's not there anymore. It's Command Isid, you have a heter. So he says, well, if it's Command Isid, you have a heter, then you have to separate one and throw it out, and give it to the girl, give it to the baby or something. But whenever it's Lachala, then Rashi will never say such an idea, Yahweh, that's so far. But by Truman, let's say a quart or a gallon of wine of Truman, that mixed in with 100 gallons of chulin, then the Rishonim says you do have to separate one. Why? That's because of the Gezron Shader. So chulin certainly is a separate din from everything else. What's the case? So Rashi says the chulin is different, that even if it's a tarubis of lach pala, still tzarech lahorin because of Gezron Shader. But whenever you have a tarubis of yavish biyavish, the Rashi claims always have to be made. You always have to set aside, even when the thing is bottled, when the thing is bottled, you always have to set aside one unit and not eat. And all the other pasuk disagree with Rashi. It says on the left-hand side, Arash Masik al-Zani Mishnah Bore, then tells Lahar Mansha, or the Shemitah disagree with Rashi, and the Ramah, so Ramah is Machma like Rashi. The Ramah is Machma, this Rashi only appears here. Doesn't appear anywhere else in Shas. We're the lucky people. We're only Beitzu, Bambino, and Beitzu, we got the Rashi. The Rashi says that that's what the word means, Yalu. The reason why the Kaman called, when it is in his bottle, they call it Ola, Truma Zola Befer Meir. And Klein Zola Befer Meir, what do you mean Ola? Ola means bottle. The Rashi says, yeah, but why do you call bottle Ola? Because, well, if it becomes bottle before you allow to eat any of it, you have to remove one unit. That amount that's coming in, you have to remove one unit and throw it out.
This could be a unit,
right? Okay.
In the soup,
it's
not blended.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I said at least 2 days.
Yeah. Because
if I want that,
then
it's not.
It's all blended together, right? It's all blended together. More says that, but last is
legal.
Yes, so it's all blended together. Anyway. I don't know. I don't think it's true. The Mordechai answers Rashi, and the Rashi only has the chumrah by Rabbi Yosef. I'm pretty sure to look through the Mishnayos, to find the term Yahweh written by Lach Palas. It's very Rashi. That's the modest question, but he said, Command the Lacey Gummy, this is to exist. And he said, no, Command the Lacey Gummy, it's really there, but the other hector. So we distinguish between Lach Palach and Yavish Biyavish. Halacha Masih, the Rambam and Shemana Seder, by Lach Palach, when you have a Tarubis and Bottles, Command the Lacey Gummy. So that's why Rashi would agree that it doesn't make sense to pay anything else. Command the Lacey Gummy, this is if Mammy doesn't exist. But Yavish Biyavish, I say, Command the Lacey Gummy, but the other hector. So I think the odds are 100 to 1 that it's not the right one. Right, so still, that's the same. But the Ramah, what's the son of the Rashi?
Without
the Rashi, under the Rishonim,
they
don't
have to
stick around.
You
would still have to make it real quick. Right, that's what Rishonim says. Right, because as far as each one is concerned, I say that it's not the right. Yeah. So the Ramah, what's this Maslaki Satanoim? The Chachamim say that bundles of this vegetable are Kloya Kem, the Kilton of Kloya Kem, the same as any other Kloya Kem. So if you have Messiah, and if you have 200 bushels against the one bushel of Tracer, Kloya Kem will be bottled. And if you have less than 200, then everything is us. And Rameh was of the opinion that it's not so, that this vegetable, I don't know what the vegetable is, vegetable of Tilton is such a delicacy that it's considered a double kosher and it's not bubble. Shachar Rameh was of the opinion, Eshadar Kulimona is the kind of Chacham and say that since they sell these bushels, rather than selling it by the weight. We're going to get to that, but Tosis has an important discussion about that. Tosis is right over here with the Mordechai, but Rameh had an important discussion about that. So Achei Bachir should be a case of a strict statement. So that's what Rameh will talk about. We'll get to that. So the Gemara quotes these brachos, Shehoyer and Meiram is of the opinion, Eshet Darko Limono is Mekadosh. Whatever you sell separately, whatever sometimes sold by the unit, rather than selling it by the weight, is Mekadosh. Mekadosh means that it's not bottle. Then it cannot become bottle. Mekadosh is the opposite of Ola. Ola means that it's bottle. Mekadosh means that it asks everything. And the Chachamim and Chachamim disagree with them. Maybe it's not so. Even Mekadosh Ola, there are only six things that are considered such Dvarim Hashuvim, that it's like Dari is not bottle. Chachamim, when the Kadosh is not bottle, Balachayim is not bottle. So they have another six things that are also not bottle.
The Kiva says there.
barrels are sealed, it's considered a davar chashuv. And if you have one trefet barrel of wine as an orlok, like him, whatever, and it gets mixed in with 1,000 barrels of wine, they're all sealed. So it's a davar chashuv, ayvid b'fneyatzman, not mizbab. Chilfi, tardin, some kind of stalks of tardin is beets. So some kind of a davar chashuv. Kilchei, kruv, some kind of stalks of kruv is cabbages. The last Yivana, some kind of a Greek pumpkin or another. So these are dvarim chashuvim that they used to sell individually. They never used to sell them by the pounds, by the weight. They always used to sell them individually. So that's why the Chacham say these six things are not bad. Rabbi Kiva Meisif, a seventh thing, av kikoreshel balabayis. If a private person bakes chalalach, so the chalalach are dvar chashuvim b'fnei atzma. So Rabbi Kiva says there are seven things that are dvarim chashuvim, and the Rabbanan say there are only six things that are dvarim chashuvim. Barrels are sealed, it's considered a davar chashuv, and if you have one trefet barrel of wine as an orlok, like him, whatever, and it gets mixed in with 1,000 barrels of wine, they're all sealed, so it's a davar chashuv, ayvid b'fnei atzman, not mizbab. Chilfi, tardin, some kind of stalks of tardin is beets, so some kind of a davar chashuv. Kilchei, kruv, some kind of stalks of kruv is cabbages. The last Yivana, some kind of a Greek pumpkin or another. So these are dvarim chashuvim that they used to sell individually. They never used to sell them by the pounds, by the weight. They always used to sell them individually. So that's why the Chacham say these six things are not bad. Rabbi Kiva Meisif, a seventh thing, av kikoreshel balabayis. If a private person bakes chalalach, so the chalalach are davar chashuv ayvid b'fnei atzma. So Rabbi Kiva says there are seven things that are dvarim chashuvim, and the Rabbanan say there are only six things that are dvarim chashuvim. Rav Meir says there are more than six and more than seven. What does Rav Meir say? So Rav Meir says, Es shedarkli modnes mekadesh, whatever is sold by the unit. And within Rav Meir, we'll leave out the next line, we get the Yitmar Allah, and we have a connection with this Mishnah, Machlekes Rav Yechanan Mishlakish. Rav Yechanan says, Es shedarkli modnes sheninu, means that only if it's always sold by the unit, it's never sold by the weight. And Rish Lakish says, no, kol shadark lebanshan, if it's ever sold by the unit, even though it's sometimes sold by the weight, that's enough of a hashivus that Rav Meir said that it's not mizbatel. So the Gemara is now getting back to this original brisa, and they say, well, hey, nicha, it is nicha. This brisa that we quoted before, that the sarva be'alef, that a beitza is not batel, the sarva be'alef kulam asuras, that an egg is not batel. Now, eggs are sometimes sold by weight and sometimes sold by the unit. So, hey, nicha, this brisa is good, it makes sense, it's all Rish Lakish, who says, kol shadark lebanshan, meaning that Rav Meir's opinion is that if you have a unit, you have a tray for food that is sometimes sold by the unit, even though it's also sometimes sold by the way, the din is that it's not bottle. So then the price is nichon, the last line of the price that follows Rav Meir's sheet. Ela the Rabbi Yechanan, but if you all Rabbi Yechanan's sheet, the Rabbi Yechanan's girsa in the Mishnah there in Klayim, in Orla, that what? But the only thing Rav Meir says is not bottle is es shadarkin monois, only something which is always sold by the unit, never sold by the way. So eggs don't fall under that category. Eggs are sometimes sold by weight, sometimes sold by unit. So ma'ikel ameimar. So how are you going to interpret the brisa that it says the sarva bel of kulam asuris was stuck again? Unless you're going to say that the last line in the brisa goes back on beitza shenol v'biyantiv. But you can't say the first line in the brisa goes beitza shenol v'biyantiv. The last line goes on beitza shenol v'biyantiv. The middle line goes on beitza straight. You can't read a brisa like that. So that's the Gemara's kasha. If you hold on Rabbi Yechanan, what do you do with the brisa? The Gemara says Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish just had two girsas. What does Rav Meir say in the Mishnah in Orla? What does Rav Meir hold? But Rav Yechanan agrees that there is a Tana who holds like Reish Lakish. Rav Yechanan just holds Rav Meir doesn't hold like that. So that price holds like that Tana. And the Gemara says, where do you see that there's such a Tana? Oh, we know there's such a Tana. And for the Gemara, who the Omar, that price holds like the following Tana, called Davish Abiminyan, I feel a bit of Rabbanu like Bafu. Rav Yechanan agrees that there's a Tana. He just argues with Reish Lakish, what does Rav Meir hold? But he agrees that such a Shita exists. So he says that's what the price is talking about. We have to learn next week. We're going to have to learn this. A lot of themes here. Next week is Hanukkah. Okay. Okay, believe me, we'll learn Hanukkah. So another, maybe next week and the week after, we'll learn about Hanukkah. It's 2 weeks. So another 3 weeks, we'll learn about. We'll have to get back to. We'll have to get back over here to Svek Svek. These are very Yeridei Dikit topics. This is major issues on Yeridei over here. In this week's Sedra, we read about Eshes Potiphar, who started up with Yosef HaTzadik, that she wanted very much to sin with him. Atisa Eshes Adonai v'Seinel, Yosef HaTzadik Meshich v'Emin, she wants to sin with him, and he refuses to do the Avera. And she's hacking him, Atzadik, v'hi kedab re'el of Yom Yom, lo shamar le nishkav le tzlo le Yosef Mo, so the Pasuk says, v'hi kayem as I one fine day, Yosef came home to do his work. And he ran away and he didn't do the aver. So how do you translate the words of the pasuk? He came home to do his work. The Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Soita that there is a machloikis amaroim, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Chadama, one opinion is malachta mamish. And one says, lasas sarocho. Lasas sarocho means he was prepared to sin with him. He finally gave in and was prepared to sin with him. The other one says, Chalila v'chalila. That's malach, that means he came to do his work in the house. So I see the Torah. It's Mimi here asks, and the first man, the Gemara asks, and the Yaakov, the Yaskan, not the Gemara. The Gemara is in Seita Daf Lamed Zayin. The Medrash says that he was a Cheshed Cheshbonis, he was a bookkeeper. So his mind was not able to think and learning. His head was clogged up with numbers. He was keeping the record now. Oysa Cheshbonis over here. He wasn't able to think and learning. So if a person walks near a Pesach Beis Zaynis and he's unable to think and learning at that time, so that's the equivalent of Lasas Sarach. So that's why one of the Amoraim, they both said the same thing, it's not a Machlokes, but one of them condemns him by saying that Lasas Malachto under these circumstances, knowing that he's walking into a Beis Zaynis, is the equivalent of Lasas Sarach. Should we need some?
What do you think?